WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. Many of us wonder on a daily basis what are the keys to happiness. Age UK, a British charity, attempted to answer that question, at least for those older than 60 years. The charity has created an index of well-being based on survey data from 15,000 people. As reported by The Economist magazine, researchers found that a set of 40 social and economic indicators are particularly useful for estimating an individual's overall quality of life. This was accomplished by utilizing a statistical technique known as structural equation modeling, which examines the relationship between a diverse set of variables and assigns a weight to each one. The final well-being scores that the index produced for each person were closely correlated with their own perceptions of life satisfaction. Not surprisingly, the charity found that wealth, health, education, and emotional support all have significant impacts on well-being. However, the measure with the biggest impact when holding all other factors constant was the number of creative and cultural activities in which somebody engages. In other words, if you seek happiness, go to a museum, take a painting class, join a book club, watch a play, or listen to your favorite symphony orchestra. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. As indicated by Bloomberg, the Department of Homeland Security recently proposed to scrap the International Entrepreneur Rule, a late Obama-era proposal intended to attract the world's most promising entrepreneurs to create companies and jobs in America rather than elsewhere. The department doesn't dispute the lawfulness of the program, nor does the department believe that the program would hurt the economy. Available estimates suggest that it would create as many as 300,000 jobs for U.S. workers. It's so merit-based that only an estimated 0.00004% of the world's population would likely be eligible. It's also not a question of funding, since application fees would fund the International Entrepreneur Rule. Nevertheless, the Department of Homeland Security concludes that the International Entrepreneur Rule must die. Among other things, the department argues that since the program doesn't represent a true visa, which only Congress can create, it doesn't create sufficient certainty for the entrepreneurs and investors who would rely upon it. But that doesn't make too much sense, since entrepreneurs and investors themselves have clamored for this program. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. There is a stereotype suggesting that boys do better than girls in math. As indicated by writers Claire Kane Miller and Kevin Quealy, for the most part, this stereotype is rooted in error. On average, girls and boys perform about the same in math, at least through eighth grade. But there is one noteworthy exception. According to a new study produced by Stanford researchers, in school districts that are mostly rich, white, and suburban, boys are much more likely to outperform girls in math. This research is based on 260 million standardized test scores for 3rd through 8th graders. More specifically, the study incorporates test scores from 10,000 of the roughly 12,000 school districts in America. In no district do boys, on average, do as well or better than girls in English and language arts. The authors conclude that local norms influence how children perform in school from early ages and that boys are much more influenced than girls. In math, girls perform slightly better than boys in about a quarter of districts, particularly those that are predominantly African American and low income. Boys do somewhat better in the rest, and much better in high income and mostly white or Asian American districts. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. In recent weeks, several proposed tariffs have transformed from proposals to realities. Additional major new tariffs have been threatened. Tariffs are taxes on imported goods and have the effect of raising the cost of those goods to consumers. Tariffs can also render domestic producers who don't face the tariff more price competitive vis-a-vis their foreign counterparts. As indicated by writer Josh Sumbrun, there are already some examples of how recent tariffs have been rippling through the U.S. economy. One of the first to go into effect came in January with the imposition of 20% tariffs on washing machines. While tariffs are formally paid by whomever imports the goods, importers often pass their higher costs along to consumers. In the case of washing machines, this is precisely what occurred. The index for laundry equipment in the Consumer Price Index, the nation's primary inflation gauge, surged about 17% over a recent three-month period. This comes at the end of a period during which prices had been declining, driven largely by foreign-made machines. The impact on the economy, however, is small, since major appliances represent just 0.1% of the Consumer Price Index. For WIPR, I'm Aniban Basu. This is Aniban Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. It probably wouldn't surprise you to learn that Stanford produces a lot of CEOs. An analysis of LinkedIn data pertaining to 12,000 CEOs of companies with 50 or more employees from 20 nations indicates that Stanford University is the university most commonly attended by future CEOs. I'll come back to number two in a moment. Ranking third in terms of churning out CEOs is Harvard Business School. Ranking fourth is Stanford arch rival, the University of California at Berkeley. At number five are the Brainiacs from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. But what about number two? You may be guessing that it's the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, or maybe it's Columbia or the University of Chicago, Duke or Dartmouth. Nope, it's Penn State University. As indicated by CNBC, Penn State has been recognized elsewhere as one of the top 10 universities in the nation for producing Fortune 500 CEOs. One Penn State alum, Terrence Pegula, is worth an estimated $4.3 billion and owns both the Buffalo Sabres and the Buffalo Bills. LinkedIn data also finds that by far the most popular field of study for CEOs is computer science, followed by economics. For WIPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Aniban Basu.